You're listening to Coming Out of the Spiritual Closet with your host, me, Brittany Wittig.
I have a very special episode for you this week. I interview Oshana of Oceanita Medicina. Oshana is an RN, health doula, and herbalist. And what she shares in this episode is so powerful. She shares the way our bodies and physiology actually mirror nature and the rhythms of nature, and how leaning into this truth mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, we can naturally begin to heal ourselves on all of those levels. And Oshana absolutely lives this in her everyday, which she also shares about here. It's incredibly inspiring. And since Oshana opened her business, I have learned so much from her. I also touch on my experience with Western medicine when I had cancer. And to be clear, Oshana and I both have massive respect for the Western medicine system. And we have both seen the limitations of the system firsthand, which we share about today. I truly feel like this is one of the most important podcast episodes I've ever published. There's information relevant to every listener in this conversation. And also, before we get into the episode, I just want to say, Oshana is a nurse, but she is not your nurse. So what she shares today is purely for educational purposes, and it is not medical advice. Please consult your medical provider before making any changes to your healthcare regimen. Okay, enjoy this episode. I know you're going to. All right, everyone, welcome to the podcast for this week. I am so, so happy to have you on the show, Oshana. I have been wanting to have you on the show for a while, so this has been a long time coming. Just to get started, could you tell us just a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yes, definitely. And I'm really excited to be here. I've been listening since day one, and yeah, it feels like such an honor to be on this end of the podcast this time. Yes. So I am an RN who specializes in functional medicine. And for those who don't know what functional medicine is, it is an approach to medicine, to healthcare, where we're really looking at the root causes of illness and healing from there. Whereas in our conventional allopathic model, we're really looking at symptoms and treating symptoms. And I'm also an herbalist, and I'm very passionate about traditional medicine and old folk remedies and the earth and connection with the earth and bringing that back into modern medicine. And yeah, I guess that's a good start to introduce myself and who I am a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. When I think about you and what you're doing in the world, it feels like you're helping to like reattune people to their actual nature, which is being part of nature. I mean, would that resonate with you?
Totally. Yes. I think when we look at the rhythms of our body, like literally our hormonal rhythms, and we look at nature, we see how the two are really one and the same. Like, I can give a couple quick examples just for context, but our cortisol levels, they spike in the morning right around the time that the sun comes up. And then they dive right around the time that the sun goes down, and then melatonin kicks in. And it's like we mirror the rhythms of nature in that way. And like in our female bodies, we follow the 28-day cycle of the moon. It's like when you really start to research the way that the human body works and you know about the rhythms of nature, it's impossible to not see how the two are the same. So I think that recognizing that, and really I think that traditionally we did, only maybe in the last 100 years have we forgotten that part and like had it not be a part of medicine. But when we make those connections, it really changes the way that we live our whole life and our health.
Oh, yes. So that is so interesting about the cortisol spiking when the sun comes up and the melatonin kicking in when the sun goes down. Something that I've noticed is whenever I am out camping, even if it's at a festival, but if I'm out camping, like I'm out in the natural light 24 hours a day, I very quickly get on a sunrise wake shortly after sunset go to bed schedule. Like it happens so fast for me. And so that makes total sense because my body's telling me like it's time to go to sleep. It's dark now.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And it's only
What?
because we're so removed from living inside of nature, being immersed in nature that way, that we've disrupted these pathways. And with that has come chronic stress and insomnia and like all these problems associated with those hormones.
Oh,
And
that's so interesting.
it really just comes back to the fact that we've separated ourselves from nature so significantly.
Yes. And you know what is so interesting? When I really started to realize that and really started to experience that, and also when I really started to sink back into my connection to the natural world, was when I lived in an RV traveling through Baja, Mexico for the first time we did it was for like 6 months. And this is an interesting thing because Oshana, and I have had the same experience. Oshana traveled in a van and camped in Baja for a long period of time and even went to some of the same spots. Did you have that experience too there? Because it for me was like, whoa, I'm remembering my connection to the earth.
Yes, it was actually really a gateway for me. So just prior to that, I had left my full-time nursing job, and what kind of initiated that is that I had moved out of a townhouse living with friends to live by myself in a cabin where I had no Wi-Fi, no cell service, and sometimes no electricity because it was run off solar. So depending on how much energy I got. So I was really like going to sleep when it got dark and waking up with the sunrise. And it only took several months of living that way for me to realize like I can't continue working as a nurse at this pace. And like I need to slow down and be in the rhythms of nature. So then that was what like led to me going off in the van and living that way in Mexico. And that was, I mean, yeah, the full immersion was definitely traveling in Mexico and really leaning into those rhythms. It was really a cool experience.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I love that. I'm just thinking back now too. I didn't even realize it until we started talking, but I'm thinking back now to how, yeah, that experience of being so immersed living in nature was really a turning point for me also. That's so interesting. So, okay. So, continuing on, I am currently in Oshana's program, The Rhythms of Us, and I have to say, I'm learning so much from you. It's so wild. And what is it we're going over? We're going over is it like the 5 R's of functional medicine? Can you tell me about that?
Yes. So it's based from the framework of the 5 R's of functional medicine, which is actually a framework used for gut health, for like repairing and restoring the gut.
Okay.
And I took that information and kind of expanded it to all parts of our life and how we can
Yeah.
use those 5 R's to not only work on our gut and like on our internal environment, but also redesigning our external environment so that we're in closer relationship.
Wow. The thing that's so incredible about what you do and what the way that you're approaching and teaching functional medicine is so truly holistic. I mean, I think there are a lot of people who are touching on certain, they're making it more holistic, right? They're touching on food. Food is often touched on. They're touching on like sleeping patterns and things like this. But the way that you bring every single part of our lives into this information. I mean, thinking about like last week in that class, we were talking about re-inoculating our guts and we weren't just talking about like what you eat or probiotics. we were talking about like re-inoculating our whole lives. So we were talking about like playing more. We were talking about movement. We were talking about bringing more diversity into every area of our lives, including like just our life experience, like more diversity of experience. Anyway, it's amazing like how truly holistic your teachings are. I'm loving it. I'm learning so much. And I'm someone who's been pretty into holistic wellness, and I'm learning so many new things from you. It is so amazing. So, everyone listening, be sure that you go check out Oshana. I'm going to have her Instagram and other links in the show notes, but really it's holistic on a whole nother level. It's like really leaning into our truth, which is that we are nature. So cool.
Thank you for that reflection. And yeah, it's so frustrating in this like modern, especially like online business world, because they all talk about how you need to find a niche. And I'm
Oh,
like, when it really comes to wellness, there is no niche. Like, you have to look at every single part of your environment, of your life. It's not just stress, it's not just sleep, it's not just nutrition. Like, I can't focus on one because I see the whole picture. So it's like, yeah, that idea to me is impossible. I'm like, there's no niche I'm ever gonna find. Like, this is it.
I think that's your niche.
Yeah.
It's like,
Somehow.
I cannot niche down. That's my niche. Yeah, I think that
Totally.
works. That's, yeah, it's been amazing though. I mean, really, I'm learning so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, good.
Okay, so I would love to ask you, since you are an RN, and as you mentioned, you worked as an RN and you worked in a hospital and medical office, right? Yeah, and that's what I thought. And yeah, since you have had that experience, and then also I know that you've had a big personal health experience. So could you talk about how kind of that story and how, like, what led you to do this work?
Yes, it is. It's a long-winded one, but we can kind of just flow with whatever it brings up as I go. But yeah, so I'll start with really just the timeline. I started having like autoimmune inflammatory symptoms as a teenager. So really, my entire adult life, I've been dealing with chronic pain and just bizarre symptoms that no one in the modern medicine, conventional medicine world really could find the root cause of. Although I did have inflammatory markers, so they just deemed it as an autoimmune disease. And I say that with quotations because autoimmune disease is truly a umbrella term for our body attacking itself, our body thinking that it is foreign to itself. But it's not really a diagnosis. It's an imbalance and it's a misunderstanding. Part of the reason I went into nursing and healthcare was because I had that own personal experience as a teenager of already dealing with these things and wanting to find answers for myself and also help others through similar circumstances. And so I went to nursing school. I got a bachelor's of science in nursing and was like really hopeful about this career path. And then, so I graduated nursing school in 2019. And about 6 months into my career, my first job was working in hospital. COVID hit. And the hospital that I worked in was actually trained in Ebola. Like we were certified to deal with an epidemic. And so we very quickly became the COVID hospital for the region. And so all of the nearby hospitals were sending COVID patients our way. And that just became what we did. The reason I mention this is because it is what really made me wake up to what's going on in Western medicine. And that's because I went from being a new grad nurse who felt like I knew nothing or was just trying to grasp at all of this information and that the professionals around me truly knew what was going on, like they knew everything. And when COVID hit, all of the policies and procedures and protocols we had in place suddenly didn't matter. They weren't relevant and no one knew anything. And it was shocking how much no one knew anything and how scared everyone was. And to me, I was like, oh, wow, like you never knew what I thought you knew. You had just memorized protocols and policies. Like you don't actually know about how the human body works. And that was just like appalling to me. And really, I believe that if these doctors and other nurses that I was working with had understanding of traditional medicine, of like the underlying tissue state of the body and how those tissue states interact with virus, COVID would have never ended up being what it is. Because from the beginning, we would have been addressing the health of the underlying tissue states and the root cause of the virus taking this place as home. And, instead we just suppressed symptoms and let the virus run its course. So, anyway, that's a little bit of a tangent, but
No, I love
that was
it. I think
really,
that's a really powerful, powerful perspective to share.
So that was my kind of like wake up call of like, wow, okay, this isn't really, I don't feel like I resonate with this. And so I switched courses and went into primary care, preventative medicine, thinking, okay, this is how I'm going to really be able to support people from getting to that point, getting to the hospital where these people are just following policies and protocols. But then what I found in primary care was the same, but even deeper. The policies and protocols were now applied to thousands and thousands of people, and they were all the same. So we weren't looking at whether or not someone was male or female, whether or not they had been through a trauma, like anything about their story and who they really were as an individual human being, not alone the fact that they had a spirit that comes into the matter as well, but we were just following scripts, like quite literal, like written scripts and prescriptions following that. So it was, that was really disheartening and difficult for me, to like come to terms with, I guess, being on that side of it. And I had a really amazing role as a nurse in primary care. I was a clinic nurse, and I actually got to work one-on-one with patients and teach lifestyle changes, educate them about their chronic illnesses and more holistic ways to manage it. But I was very limited in what I was allowed to share with people. So everything had to be evidence-based. Which is problematic, not because I don't believe that evidence is important, but because research is funded by very wealthy pharmaceutical and insurance companies. And so it's always biased. And there's not enough research in the things that don't require pharmaceuticals. So a lot of the things that I knew could help people, because of my many years at this point of studying herbalism and traditional medicine, I couldn't actually share with them. So I was getting really frustrated. Like, I know what could change your life, but if I share it with you, my license is on the line. I could lose my job, lose my career. So, yeah, that's really what finally took me to the edge of like, I need to do my own thing and share with the world the things that I know will really help people heal. And so, through all of those years and that process in the nursing world, I found a lot of answers to help myself and my chronic illness. And none of it was within the conventional medicine system I was working in. It was all in my self-studies of traditional medicine modalities, functional medicine, herbalism, nutrition, medical astrology. I went like everywhere. And I really made a lot of progress and helped myself. And yeah, now I want to help others do the same.
Wow. So, could you talk a little bit about your personal health experience? Like, what did your body used to feel like? How is it feeling now? Like, what are the shifts that you've seen?
Yeah, so my diagnosis of autoimmune disease came from chronic inflammation, and this for me really came out as chronic pain. So I had severe cervical pain in my neck to the point where like I was seeing like there's potential for surgery at one point. Like they thought something had to be like severely structurally wrong, but the more MRIs and digging we did, like the less clear it was what was causing this pain, and they deemed it as inflammatory, sent me to a rheumatologist. I also had lower back pain that was very severe, horrible migraine headaches, a lot of mental fog, and like kind of like almost disassociating feeling. And all of this was inflammation. And so, and a lot of it came from, I mean, it's really in functional medicine, we look at the whole story of someone, like back to when they were in the womb and what their mother was eating. Like everything affects who we are. So a lot of my story actually does go back to that. My mom was a vegetarian, and in my childhood, I took was a gymnast, took a lot of ibuprofen and many rounds of antibiotics. So like there were so many things that led to this inflammation in my teenage years. But with all of that being said, I started to put these pieces together as I started to learn more about functional medicine and these different approaches, and started to realize how truly a lot of my symptoms were a cause of being disconnected from the earth. So, and the way that I figured this out was just by living my life. Like I would spend a weekend camping and I would have no symptoms. Or I would, similar to like what you were saying, I would go to a music festival where I was totally mistreating my body, and you would imagine I would feel horrible, like, you know, staying up for 48 hours, taking recreational substances in different times, like totally putting my body through hell. And I would feel great. Like my body was actually fine, like better than normal. And afterward too, like I was like, wow, how is that possible? And I realized it's because I was outside all day. I was dancing. I was moving my body in ways that my body wanted to be moved. And so, yeah, all of those little changes eventually led me to just, it took completely changing my life. I mean, every aspect of my life to align more with the rhythms of nature and to really heal the roots of that. And that's not to say I don't still have some symptoms. Like I'm still working on it and still learning. And some of these things go even deeper, and you have to really find those, like the root cause of the root cause. And yeah, and so it's fun. I've been my own case study.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's so interesting. Just listening to that timeline is so fascinating. So I met Oshana the summer after she graduated, 2019. And the way that Oshana and I met, which I feel is I feel like it matters, so I'm going to share. So the way that Oshana and I met was we volunteer with a festival medical and crisis support group. And the way that this works is at festivals, this group, this volunteer group, will send out partners into the festival. One person is a medical professional, and one person is trained in peer crisis support, crisis intervention. And at festivals, a lot of this involves people who are having a difficult psychedelic experience, for example. So that Oshana and I actually met volunteering with this group. And there, the summer of 2019, we ended up volunteering at a few different festivals together. And it was just like, we just connected so much. And it's so interesting because that summer of 2019, which was just before COVID, right? That was such a massive turning point in my story. And listening to this, it was also such a massive turning point in your story. And I just love that synchronicity. It feels like, whoa.
Yeah, we both met at like a huge awakening point in our paths, in our lives. Yeah, it's wild. And we've
Definitely.
stayed so close through since the moment we met too, like through all of these waves of growth and expansion. Yeah.
Yes. And now it's like come full circle. And here you are in the same online spiritual community. And here you are on the podcast. So I wanted to share that because for everyone listening, it's not very often that someone who I first knew in my 3D life then comes on the podcast and is doing work that is so like synchronous with what I'm doing. So I just think it's really cool. So happy to have you on here. So this is interesting. There are a number of things that came up for me as you shared your story. I think a big one for me was that moment when you talk about the wake-up call that you had when you looked around and you were working in the medical world and realizing, oh, wait, these are things that are memorized, but it isn't that people are actually, it isn't that a lot of these professionals are actually understanding what is happening in a more complex or holistic way. I guess maybe that's the way to put it. The wake-up call for me with that was when I went through my cancer experience. For me, what was so fascinating, and I actually wrote down a few things specifically that I want to make sure I share because, like, from the patient perspective, it was incredible to me how limited the information and support that I was given was. And I want to say that I went to a very highly respected cancer institute. I worked with one of the top oncologists in the type of cancer that I had. So it's not like I wasn't, just so everyone listening knows, it's not like I was at a hospital where they don't know what they're doing with cancer or something. I mean, these were special, special specialists. And I still received, for instance, I had pelvic radiation. A lot of pelvic radiation. And I didn't receive any information whatsoever about post-treatment nutrition, about the fact that pelvic radiation would completely wipe out my gut microbiome, completely change, actually cause scarring in the gut that even changes the way that my gut is able to repopulate. These are all, I know these things now, but these are all things that I had to figure out on my own. And what's really interesting and what supported me so much is that as anyone listening knows, I'm highly, highly intuitive. Probably many of the people listening remember back when all of this happened. I did podcast episodes about it. I'm highly intuitive. And so luckily, my intuition was sending me downloads of like, this might be happening. You need to go to this resource, go read about this. And it led me to all of this information that no one shared with me. And they're not sharing that with any other patient either. And it's so interesting with the type of treatments that I had, when I go to like cancer forums where people who have had this cancer talk, I had an advanced form of cervical cancer. And when you go to the forums where people discuss this, women are suffering with these long, long, long-term issues. It's the rate of IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, in women who have had cervical cancer treatment is like, it's like off the charts. It's insane. It's like almost every woman gets that. But that's because there's no education about what that treatment's doing to your gut. And I mean, it goes on and on. There are a lot of long-term side effects that I've learned to manage basically through intuition and through this kind of holistic approach. But it did really blow my mind. They could explain to me the chemotherapy, the radiation. They could explain how that was going to work and what that was going to be, but there was absolutely no emotional support, absolutely no mention of spiritual support, and nothing post treatment at all, which it just blows my mind. It's
Oh,
wild.
it truly, like, it breaks my heart. It is so devastating to know how many people are receiving the same level of care and don't even know that there are other options or that there are other supportive options to pair with that. Like, that it's not even one or the other. We can blend the two worlds because similar to what you're talking about, like, in so many ways, this Western medicine system saved your life. Like, you went through with the radiation because you trusted it. And for so many people, it is life-saving. And for so many reasons, Western medicine is incredible. Like, the technology we have is incredible. But we're missing such vital pieces. Like, we're missing the acknowledgement that this is not a machine, this is a human being. And that we have a spirit, we have emotions that pair with every physical problem. And it's, Yeah, it's just really hard to know how many people, the majority of our population, especially in the United States, who don't know anything different. And even these doctors, I mean, a lot of the physicians who I worked with have such big hearts and truly believe that what they're providing is the best care possible. And that's what they're taught, and they believe it. And it's so sad because it's not. And we all feel that it's not. And they know it's not too, because their patients aren't getting better. So there's so many layers to it, but
Yeah, that reminds me of that's it's interesting you say that, 'cause yeah, I absolutely do recognize and totally honor the fact that the Western medicine treatments saved my life. And so here's the thing, and I talked about this back in my podcast episodes that I did at the time, but luckily, when I was diagnosed with cancer, I say luckily, that's a clue into my perspective, right? But luckily, I had been through the experience of being the primary caretaker of my mother as she died of cancer. So I was very familiar with the emotional toll, the physical toll, the emotional toll, the spiritual toll. And interestingly, my cancer diagnosis came 9 years after her death day, almost to the day, which was wild. It was crazy. It was like literally 2 days after her death day, I was diagnosed with cancer 9 years later. And so because of my perspective, having had that experience and also understanding that trauma plays a huge role in our, like you said, all of our physical stuff also has a mental, emotional, spiritual layer to it. So I was very lucky to immediately go into a place where I was feeling all of my feelings about what was happening. I was looking head on at, okay, why do I have cancer and why do I have it in this area of my body? I had it in my sacral area. Sacral is related to the mother wound. I mean, it's like if you follow the breadcrumbs emotionally, spiritually of my cancer, it is so obvious, like so obvious what was going on. And so I was lucky enough to know that and to be able to do that. And feeling my feelings freed up my intuition. Because when you allow yourself to feel, you clear the emotions and then your intuition can speak to you. And my intuition said to me very clearly that I needed to do the Western medicine treatment. So my choice to go with Western medicine was very much spiritually led. And I am very grateful for it. And I realized that my outcome was so incredibly positive, and I know so much of that has to do with me following these breadcrumbs to the root cause of what was going on with the cancer. And like you said, it's so hard for me to think about all of the people who haven't been able to do that for themselves because they don't even realize that that's an option, you know? So.
And these specialists too, just like to give perspective, they went through 8 years of school at least just to get their doctorate, and then however many years after that to become a specialist. And then these special of specialists that you went to, I mean, they're so educated, so widely educated, yet somehow, nowhere along the way, did they learn about the spiritual and emotional impact on the physical body. And that's where we're missing the punch in modern Western medicine. And it didn't always look this way in Western medicine either. Like back in the Renaissance era, for example, if we're going to go way back, every single physician was required to learn medical astrology. That's how deeply integrated Earth and spirit was into medicine. Like we were looking at the maps of the stars when these people were born, where they are now, how that's impacting their body, how that's impacting their hormones, like so deeply integrated. And really recently have we detached the two. And so it's when we think about that, it's like it's not really that far out of reach. Like I really do believe it's possible for us to reintegrate all of these things back together into one. And I think it's starting to happen slowly. We just have to get enough evidence to prove it to these special specialists that this is important.
I do think it's starting to happen. I agree. I see that. A person that comes to mind, Gabor Mate, he talks about the physical effects of trauma, and he's become very widely understood and read and respected. So I agree. I think it's starting to happen. Okay, so I would love to ask you, because I feel like you live what you teach and what you, I don't love the word preach, but you do. You live what you preach in a way that, I mean, is in such integrity. So I would love to ask you, I'm curious about this myself, and I think it'll be interesting. I would love to just ask you, what does your life look like? Like, what does being one with the earth in this way and getting in touch really deeply with your own nature, like, what does that look like in your life?
Yeah, it's a really good question because it is a constant, like no matter how deep you go into this, it is a constant job. Like we so easily get sucked back in to these distractions and detachments from the earth, and it's unavoidable in our modern world. Like that is where we are. So we have to accept it from there that like perfectionism when it comes to living in rhythms of the earth does not exist. And we are So just to be like real from the beginning, it is not like I am like fully immersed in the dirt every day and like, worshiping the sun and perfect. Like I am still working on getting myself there. But I have come a really long way, and really even just the last year, like I think back, it's incredible the ways that I have shifted my entire life to be able to live in closer rhythms with the earth. So right now I actually am living in the southern hemisphere in Argentina, and it's summer here. And so I a big I'm able to be outside a lot more because of the season. And so I'm spending as much time as possible outdoors. Something that I told our Rhythms of Us community that is a goal of mine, and I encourage others to do the same, is to be spending more time outdoors than I am in front of a screen every day. And for, to me, that just sounds like how sad. But really, when we think about that, it's really difficult for most of us to actually achieve that goal, including me, who spends a lot of time outside. So, like it's looking at all aspects of my daily life and trying to figure out ways that I can be quite literally more outside, immersed into nature. And then it's things like growing my own vegetables. Like we're only down here for 3, 4 months this year. And actually, when we got here, we didn't even know how long we were going to be here. But the first thing that we did when we got here was plant seeds in the backyard so that we would have a garden. And we're like, we'll at least be here in a couple months to see the beginning of our fruits and vegetables. And we actually have ended up staying longer, and we have like a full garden now, and we have fresh vegetables and fruit. And so, like that is something that's really important to me, is like going back to these really simple traditional ways of nourishing ourselves, and being in relationship with the earth that way. And then, like I said at the beginning, I am an herbalist, so the plants have become really important allies in my life and friends, and I work with them all the time. So I'm, even if it's just like harvesting and drying some flowers, but making something beautiful with them first and like actually playing with them, or actually making herbal medicine from them and having more of like a devoted practice to making tinctures and oils and things like that. And it can even be as simple as cooking, like there are days when I cook just to feed myself, and then there's days when I cook and I'm intentional with it. And when I eat that food, it's a completely different experience. It's like you are immersed into that food, into the earth. And so, yeah, it's like just the way that we do things more so than what we're doing when it comes down to living with the rhythms of the earth.
Ooh, I love that. I especially love that because that what you're describing, what comes up for me is the energy behind what we do is what matters. It's that energy that is so important. So that energy of like, I'm cooking and I'm connecting with the food and I'm connecting with this energy that's going to nourish my body, you know, coming from that place is going to change the way it feels to eat it. I
Yeah,
love that.
definitely. Yes. And even like what we talked about recently in Rhythms of Us, too, is that when we're taking our time and intentionally cooking and smelling all the flavors, we at that point are actually beginning to excrete digestive secretions and enzymes to help us digest our food. So the slower that we are with these things and the more energy we're putting into them, the more intention, the more nutrients we're quite literally getting in our body from the foods as well. So that's
So
also
wild.
connected. Yeah.
That's amazing to me. I mean, that was such a powerful piece of information. It's a good reminder. I'm glad you repeated that just now. I'm like writing it down as you say it again, because I'm like, oh, that's a really fascinating piece of information. It's so interesting. So I want to ask you a little bit about, you call yourself a health doula. So, could you talk a little bit about like what that is? How did that come to be? What is that? What does it look like when someone goes to a health doula?
Yes, I would love to. So, I have started a health education business called Oceanita Medicina. And I'll start there because that's really the root of the whole idea of a health doula. And in this business, my goal is to educate and empower people to heal themselves. So, to really like find their own root cause of illness and to find the ways that work best for them individually to heal that and to rebalance their lives. And so I don't feel like what I'm doing is necessarily health, like health education at just that. Like I couldn't call myself a health educator. And I don't feel like what I'm doing is coaching by any means. And so the word doula came to me because of the idea of a birth doula. And the origin of this word doula actually comes from a woman supporting another woman. And to me, that resonated. I'm a woman and I want to support others in their healing journeys. Like, really, it's about this devotion to supporting people. And so that felt like, yeah, like that encapsulated what I'm doing the best was this word doula. And as far as what it looks like to work with me, I think that it's a very like empathetic and relationship building experience. So in nursing school, I was taught that we need to separate our emotions from our patient because if we get emotionally involved, it's going to burn us out. And with reason, because it can be intense, like, you know, working in the medical field with patients in really heavy situations can be really traumatic. And so they're trying to protect us by teaching us this. But the problem with that is that there's no heart in medicine if we are separating ourselves completely from any emotional attachment to our patients. Like where's the love in that? Where's the connection? So my approach with this health doula model is that I am emotionally involved in your healing journey, and I should be because I am, you know, you are vulnerable and giving me so much of your own energy and hopes that I can support you and guide you to feel better. And you deserve my energy in return. So I really feel like that's what the health doula relationship looks like. And when I'm working one-on-one with someone, it does have more of kind of like a clinical functional medicine approach. So we are going really deep into the story and deep into finding the root cause. And then from there, we start to build like very foundational pieces of their life up, and then eventually get to the point where maybe we are incorporating herbs and more nutrition and things like that. But the foundation, I mean, it really just starts with what we've been speaking about, the rhythms of your life, your lifestyle. And if that is not first there, like if you are so chronically stressed and not sleeping every night, and you know, maybe even like not eating regularly, then anything else that you add into the mix isn't going to work. Like your nervous system is shut down and no healing and restoring is going to happen. So it's starting with these things that maybe seem very basic and then climbing the ladder to more of that nourishment. So that's kind of like a little snippet vision into what the work looks like.
I love it. I love that. And I love the idea. For me, what comes up with the term health doula is, I mean, and I don't know if it actually means this, but what I remember when you first publicly announced that term, I thought immediately like, oh, like you're helping people birth their healthy body, their healthy selves. It's not just body, it's so holistic. You're helping people birth a healthy life for themselves.
Yes, I love that. And actually, there's so many layers of like building a practice. And that was an original part of why I chose doula, but I've forgotten. Like I kind of forgot about that piece of it, but I do remember my original idea with all of this was that I was catching people in what I was calling health transition. So rather than calling like a health crisis, it's when you are in a moment where your symptoms are very loud and your body is out of balance and asking for transition. It's asking for change. And that I am catching people in this transition just as a birth doula would catch a mother in the transition of becoming a mother and birthing a child. I am catching someone in the transition of going through a health journey. And yes, like helping them quite literally birth this new version of themselves and bring their body into balance. So thank you for saying that because yeah, it's a really beautiful way to encapsulate what the root of really starting this practice was.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah, that's totally how I imagined it. So, something that I just want to say about something you said. You talked about how you are empathetic and you are feeling for the clients that you work with. And what came to mind as you said that, and that I wanted to point out, is that I think the reason that you are able to do that is because you are on this and have been on this deep personal spiritual path journey. And I have to say, you are one of the people in my life who has the most clear, firm, and loving boundaries. You have such beautiful boundaries. And I'm sure there's a lot of reasons for that. Probably some of it has to do with the way that you were raised. You know, your upbringing is so unique. I think because you have these beautiful boundaries for yourself that are just so loving, it allows you, I think, to be more empathetic. And it's like you're giving from a full cup. And if you didn't have a full cup, it would, and I think a lot of times in like traditional medical professionals don't have a full cup. And so it makes sense that like in nursing school, the only way they know to teach people to protect themselves is to just not even let themselves feel for the patient. But if they had a full cup and strong boundaries and a strong boundaries and a strong internal spiritual compass, they probably could allow themselves to feel for the patient and then go home and do their practice and continue to fill their cup. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yes. I think that that's exactly it. Like, if we were teaching how to set energetic boundaries in nursing school rather than how to separate emotions from a person, it would be so different. Our approach to medicine would look so different. And I think that that is the key for me is that I do know and actually have like a devoted practice to creating energetic boundaries for myself so that I can go deep emotionally with people, but when I walk away from that conversation, my internal energy has not been touched. And it doesn't mean that my heart wasn't touched and that I'm not truly feeling the empathy for that person and connecting with them, but it means that it didn't impact my energetic field. And I think that that's the key, really. That's what the burnout in the Western medicine world is that if you are going deep emotionally, then you're losing all of your energy and you burn out.
Right.
So yeah, that's a really, beautiful perspective. Thank you for honoring me in that.
Oh, definitely. And we're almost wrapping up here, but before we finish up, something I just alluded to that I would love for you to share a little bit about. Would you mind sharing a bit about your upbringing? Because I think it gives like a real full picture of who you are and who you've been in the world from the beginning.
Sure, I would love to. I love talking about my childhood, which also is unique, I think.
Yeah.
Most, you probably don't hear a lot of people say that. I was raised, so for the first 8, 9 years of my life, I was raised about an hour away from the closest very small town in tucked into the mountains of Southern Oregon. And we were very much so off grid. We did not have electricity. We used a generator sometimes. I was potty trained in a composting toilet and squatting in the woods. So like very immersed into the earth experience for the first 8 or so years of my life. And my parents also traveled. So, I wasn't isolated in that environment. For the first 3 or 4 years of my life, we spent the winters in Baja, Mexico. We drove down and lived on the beach and, got to know the communities. And so I got to experience the world as well, which I think greatly formed who I am and my love for traveling. Here I am on the other side of the world talking to you.
Yeah.
And then we did, when I was 8 or 9, we did move a little bit closer, but for us, this was still in the middle of nowhere. It was on 91-acre property, also in the mountains, and we did upgrade to solar and had more electricity and a flushing toilet. But it was still very rural. I did go to public school and was like immersed into society in that way, which I think greatly formed this kind of blend of who I've become, like having this professional side and like going to nursing school and getting a bachelor's degree and being very academic, yet very much so immersed in understanding of earth and spirit. And so my parents were very smart, I think, beyond their time, beyond their years, and the way that they raised my brother and I, and I'm very grateful for it. And yeah, I think I would not be who I am today by any means if I hadn't had been raised in that environment, and I wouldn't understand what I do now about the rhythms of the earth and our connection to them if I didn't spend my childhood playing within it every day. And I think that that's so important for our children too, like it really is hard for me to witness the ways that the majority of children are being raised, with screens and doors, especially during COVID. It was so isolating from c human connection and even playing outdoors. And I just think that,
Yeah.
yeah, that's really the foundation of life. We need that so much.
Yes. And as adults, as grown-ups, we can make the choice to bring more of that back into our life. If we didn't get that as kids, which I totally didn't, I was raised in such a sterile indoor kind of situation. And as a grown-up, it's been so beautiful bringing that into my life and giving myself the permission to go play in the dirt.
Yes, rediscovering that. And I mean, it's even crazy for someone who was raised that way. I got so distracted, and especially going into nursing school, learning about how important being sterile is, and like really learning to distrust and fear bacteria and microorganisms. It's like it's so easy for us to, even when you are raised in such an extreme way, like I was, to be convinced otherwise. So to me, it is so incredible. Anyone like you, Brittany, who has figured this out on their own and who has like somehow got away from that paradigm that everyone seems to be stuck in society, like Yeah, to me, it was like actually remembering from my childhood. But for you, it's like remembering beyond anything that you've experienced on this planet. And it's just, yeah, I'm amazed by it. I think it's so amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate that reflection. And yeah, I do think there's past life stuff going on there for sure for me. Definitely. Okay, so I feel like we've covered a lot. I would love to have you on again in the future because I feel like there's so much more that we could talk about. But for today, if people want to get in touch with you, if people want to work with you, if you're listening right now, I highly, highly recommend that you at least go and follow Oshana and be connected with her in the online space. But yeah, if people want to connect with you, how would they do that? How can they work with you?
Yes, so I'm probably most active on Instagram when it comes to social media platforms, and it's my business name, Oceanita Medicina. And then I officially have a website now, which is exciting for all of those who I envy who don't use social media. you can find out more about me on my website, and you can always also email me, oceanitamedicina@gmail.com. And I am always going to be offering different group educational offerings as well. So if you're not called to work one-on-one, that's always out there. And then on my social media platforms, there's always fun, free educational content. So yeah.
Sweet. And I have all of those links down in the show notes. So for everyone listening right now, you can just scroll down and click on those right now. Perfect.
Beautiful.
Oshana, thank you so, so much. This has been such a fascinating conversation. Thank you for sharing your wisdom.
Thank you for having me. It's so fun to, Brittany and I always have incredible conversations in general, so it's fun to record one and share it with the world.
Yes, for sure. All right, everyone, have a beautiful week, and I will catch you next time.